Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It seems like forever since we're here. Oh, well, I'm thinking about it. What do I always say when you see the toothpick come out? Turn your brains on, open up your hearts, and turn your cell phones down or off. Yeah, it's been a month and a half. We missed you guys a lot. You know, a little more quieter with my big mouth and Mary's heart. So Mary's going to sing a song, and then we'll get into the message.
Hi.
Can you see me?
Barely.
Just so you know, a year ago Paul came home from the hospital around today on the 17th.
So. And 3 days later, I was
here,
teaching
for the first time. So.
Praise God.
It's always a blessing and honor to be up here preaching and serving the Lord. And we had a wonderful time down in Edinburgh with Keith at Church in Prayer because we're in between pastors. Okay, so now I'm going to do my song. Give me a second.
Second song. Oh, you turned legalistic since we've been gone, huh?
Hopefully, the music. Oops. People are texting me. Can you hear it? Can you hear it?
Let me turn
that. Turn
on.
God sent His Son. They call Him Jesus. Can you hear it? He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives.
Amen.
How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the cry. And joy He gives, but greater still, that calm assurance this child can face uncertain days because He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know life is worth the living just because He lives. And then one day I'll cross that river. I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the light of glory, and I'll know He reigns because He lives.
Amen.
I can face tomorrow because He lives. All fear is gone because I know He holds the future and life is worth the living just because He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow, and life is worth the living just because He lives.
Amen. Praise God. Ain't that true?
Did you need this on?
Hello?
I turned it off on.
Yes. Oh, she just wanted you to hear her. All right, again, it's a blessing. Just because He lives, that's why I'm here. We all got hope. You know, Paul said, if Christ didn't rise from the dead, we're still in our sins. See? That's how important His resurrection is. And what I'm going to do today is October 14th, 2018. I love that when I get started right with the dates. It's adult Sunday school. I'm filming for Dave, as everybody here knows. I'm not Dave. Dave is like, you know, me. I'm like almost looking up here. Dave's like looking down, you know, when he's trying to do his thing. So I feel torn a little bit because I'm really excited anytime to teach or preach the Word of God because it's such good news. We got hope. There's people in this world. I was ministering to somebody on Facebook through Messenger, so down and depressed and want to just leave this world, you know, and we got hope, you know, and this is a believer, you know, so I ain't going to mention names or anything, but keep her in prayer. But why I'm torn is I love to teach and preach and give out this good news and exegete it and dig and help edify you and build into you some sound doctrine that you got to draw upon when we face the things in life. But I'm torn because Dave needs to get back here. Yeah. You know, I guarantee you, you know, he gets his 100, I always say 1,000 verses, and I'm lucky to get 10. But hopefully today, because sometime, as I shared with someone yesterday about, we have to take our thoughts captive, you know, when we go through things. And Satan throws in flaming, doubting darts. Mary calls them doubting darts. And sometime we stand there and boom, just let them beat us up. And we don't, you know, get that shield of faith and the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. And we have to take them thoughts captive. And I gave her the verses on that. Oh, I know them verses. I said, it's one thing to know them, and it's another thing to apply them when we're going through something, when you face things, when you're getting attacked, you know. So what I'm going to do, because we don't know how long it's going to be with Dave, and me and Steve were talking, we'll probably switch every other week, where I'll teach one week, Steve will teach the other. And so I'm thinking of doing a series on, which on, when I was doing Thursday nights, I started on our spiritual blessings in Christ. You know, if that don't cause you rejoicing, then something's wrong. When you realize all we have in Christ, let me read, I got 46. Some might a lot of our blessings overlap. You know, some would separate more. Some say 36, whatever. But I got 46, so let me read them to you. And what I'll be doing is taking my wife's advice. I've been doing it lately. She said repeat the verses once I get to them more than once. Because, you know, I'm always, you know, the big old clock always, like, is Satan uses it to attack my mind. But I'm always thinking of time. You know, I like to try and end on time. Well, doing a series, it'll be easier because I'm not trying to get everything in at once. So, but Mary says repeat the verses. So, you know, Jeremy, listen to your wife if she's right. That ain't always right. First, we're going to look at Ephesians 1:3 in a minute. But I just want to read to you all these spiritual blessings. They're ours by grace. You know, if you don't know what you got, you know, we are spiritually rich. We're not a bunch of poor, redheaded stepchildren that still got to run to and fro by every wind of doctrine, every movement that comes through the church, you know, trying to get this new thing from God. We're complete in Christ. And what I want to do, because I think most of us know, like when we get to righteousness, does everyone here understand justification? But here's the thing. Do you understand the ramifications of justification? What it means to be justified. What that means with your relationship with God. How he sees you, you know. Sometimes we know the doctrines, but we read the word and we know what it says, but sometimes we're not dependent on the Holy Spirit to illumine our minds and turn the light on to know what it means. What's it mean to be justified? But anyway, let me read these first. Everybody ready? Just messing with you. We have the blessing of reconciliation, a change of status. The blessings of propitiation, God's wrath satisfied. He's not angry with you. We have the forgiveness, and then what I've added here of all sins, your past sins, today's sins, your future sins. God looked down time and he put them on Christ. So God's not looking at you as a sinner. He's looking at you as a saint. Yeah, we're saints that can sin, but we'll never be in Adam a sinner anymore. We're in Christ, made alive and a saint, child of God, member of the body of Christ. We have the blessing of justification. That's, I think, a very important one because there's where Satan's got a counterfeit for gospel. You know that? What's a counterfeit? Something that looks or sounds almost what the real thing is. He doesn't care if you understand the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, because every denomination, Catholicism believes that, right? But he don't want you to understand justification, that you're saved by grace through faith, grace alone, through faith alone, as a gift of God. It's not by works. That's what he don't want people to understand. You know, because they'll say, oh yeah, everything under Christendom teach you got to believe Jesus died, buried, and resurrected. But not everyone teaches that's enough. They add something. And in our minds, sometimes we add something. Like, we don't realize how accepted we are. That's justification. You're accepted in Christ. You know, let me keep going, because I'll probably get to that today, hopefully. We have the blessings of sanctification. We've been set apart for the intelligent purpose we were created for. We're crucified with Christ. We died with Christ. We're made alive with Christ, Romans chapter 6. We're risen with Christ. We're seated together in the heavenlies with Christ. Man, to me, this is getting me excited because it's getting better and it's getting better and it's getting better. You know, all these multiplied, rich spiritual blessings that are ours, you know. And sometimes I think because we're under grace teaching so much, what I see sometimes is people being apathetic. Yeah, I know. I've been taught that since I was a kid. Yeah, you might have been, but have you ever trusted? Because maybe you ain't even saved if you ain't trusting in Christ. You can be in church all your life, your parents, and you were a very moral kid and maybe didn't get into gangs and drugs, and you think, I'm a good Christian, but you never trusted in Christ. You know all the doctrines of grace. You know what rightly dividing the word means? You know? We're joint heirs with Christ. There's a false teaching going around that we're heirs of God, but you got to work and you got to suffer for Paul's gospel in order to rule with Christ. That's garbage. That's adding works to grace, you know. And it's slithering in grace circles. So be aware of that. We're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Did anybody watch when the president was with that pastor who got freed? Yeah. Did you hear that, pastor? I'm so glad he got freed. Yeah. But in the prayer, did you hear his prayer? Now, I'm not judging the guy. All I'm saying is, here's where a lot... I could tell he was charismatic, I would pretty much say, when he talked about the Holy Spirit coming upon the president. See, you're so blessed to be not only here for me to teach this morning, but because what we have in Christ, and we're in a church that teaches it. The pastor, you know, for years been instilling that, you know. The Holy Spirit doesn't come upon us like at Pentecost. We're indwelt with Him. He'll never leave us. We can grieve Him, but He'll never leave. And when you understand how good God's been to us, now they say God's good. And then what? All the time, you know. He sure is. He sure is. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be obeyed. And, you know, I like a better word than, because obey sounds like almost you have to do it. But applying God's truth. It's because I want to. Not He's going to punish me. Not He's going to be more impressed with me. Not I'm going to get more from Him. It's because He's my papa. He's my daddy. He's your papa. He's your father. That's your intimate relationship. And I can trust Him when He tells me something. I don't know if some of you have real good dads. And when He told you something, you knew He was telling you for your own good. And if you didn't, well, you got a Heavenly Father, they'll tell you for your own good. So we ain't got no excuses. Oh, my dad, he left, and I didn't have a good dad, so that's why I'm doing drugs today. And that's why I'm womanizing, you know, psychobabble. We're not only indwelt by the Holy Spirit, He's came the moment we trusted in Christ. We're sealed. He's the seal. And what's it say? Until the day of redemption, what the Holy Spirit through Paul, God through Paul, is saying is, you can't lose Him in this life. That's security, baby. How do you like that? You know, there's people today who are wondering, am I going to lose my salvation? Because look, they're looking at themselves and they don't understand justification. I remember me. I used to think God was disgusted with me. He looked around the church on Sunday when I was Pentecostal. It was a very legalistic Pentecostal church. And I used to think He's smiling at everybody else until He looked at me. And then He's like disgusted. Maybe that's why I appreciate grace so much. Because I've been on the other side of getting beat up, spiritually abused. And then to hear the good news, to hear grace, God, I'm accepted in Christ. He sees me as holy without blemish. Yes, perfect in His sight. That moves me. That, you know, until you ain't grasped grace until grace has grasped your heart. Not just up here. Right here. It starts up here, but it's got to work in there. So we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. We're recipients of spiritual circumcision. We've been cut out of Adam. We're no longer, we'll never go back. We'll never be a sinner again. We'll be saints that can sin. But we're walking inconsistent with who we are. And God never deals with us on our sins. He deals with us in our identity. He reminds you who you are. You know, like you remind your children, remember who you are, where you come from, you know, when you leave this house. We're new creations in Christ Jesus. We're called saints. Do you see yourself as a saint or a sinner? Depends on the day, right? You know. But that's where you take them thoughts captive. God don't love you more when you're doing all the right things. He don't love you less when you're doing all the wrong things. He loves you unconditionally. You know how many, I was thinking this morning, people, I was going to say women, but men too, they're out there looking, if I could just meet somebody who would accept me just for who I am, who would love me unconditionally, there is. It's Jesus Christ. And they're looking in relationships, you know, and you know what happened? You become like a Mickey Rooney or a Zsa Zsa Gabor for us older ones that got been married, you know, 8-10 times because, oh, they ain't doing it for me, so it must be them. Instead of realizing we have spiritual needs that can only be met in Christ. And until we know our completeness in Christ, we're not ready for a relationship. Because we'll go in there trying to get from them that they can only fulfill soulish needs, not spiritual needs. And we're going to suck the life out of it, trying to get it from them. They ain't got it. It's in Christ. When you're complete in Him, now I can go into a relationship and what? I can give. I don't got to get. It's not 50-50. I'm giving you 100 whether you give it back to me or not. And you'd be surprised. Now, none of us, I'm not that way all the time. Mary, I want to be. I pray to be. But when you love somebody and you just keep loving them when they don't deserve it, maybe you got an unsaved husband or wife or whatever, friends, you keep loving them, it's going to make them want to love you back. Because they're going to find out, they're not going to find that in the world. You know, you get them friends that are all, you know, party friends, say, let's go out, man, I love you, bro, I got your back. And what happens? Get in the hospital, go to jail. How come you didn't come visit me? You know what I mean? I thought we were, and you'll be disappointed. But when you understand grace, it's, and you realize too, I don't got that kind of love in me. That's a fruit of the Spirit, that unconditional love. So we don't depend on ourselves. Like, God, I'm going to try and be the best wife, the best, well, I wouldn't make a good wife, but the best husband, the best husband that I can be. But where's the focus on me? It's like, Lord, I can't love Mary the way you want her to be loved. But Christ is in me, so Christ, love her like you want her loved. Father, let me see her. I was just praying that this morning because I was a little aggravated with her. On a little thing, not bad. But I'm like, Lord, she's got so many, remind me of all them good things. She's faithful. When I'm at the hospital, she's there every day. And then, you know, we let them little things. And I'm like, Lord, let me see her the way you see her, as your daughter. And love her, produce that love in me, because that's what he wants. He wants to love people through us. We're hidden with Christ in God. Think about that for a sec. Hid. Covered in Christ's righteousness. But when I get to justification, you're going to be a little bit surprised. I don't want to get into it too much. Really, like I said, I don't want to jump ahead of myself. But just in case I don't get to it this week, make sure in 2 weeks you come back. We have freedom from the law. We're not going to be punished when we mess up. And we're not going to be the carrot and stick of law. If you do the right things, then I'll bless you. If you do the wrong things, you're going to get, you know, the stick. What it is, we serve God because we're blessed already. Out of gratitude. That's what he wants. He's not wanting you to do it out of being selfish or for his acceptance. You're already accepted completely. Yeah. You're hidden with Christ and God. We have freedom from the law. We have freedom from sin, the sin nature. That's so convicting. You know, we never have to sin. You say, well, wait a minute, Paul. You're getting a little far out on me now, ain't you? The cross broke the power of sin. We never have to. We choose to. But knowing that can help us. See, we never become sinless because we have a sin nature, but that's not who we are. We're new creations in Christ Jesus. Who we are as a new creation, that new man inside only wants to please God. And what happens is, but there's still that essence of sin. We're not in Adam anymore. But we have a sin nature. See, people get it confused. Some people say, see, the Bible says it was destroyed. Well, destroyed, its power was destroyed. What Paul say? What I want to do, I don't do. What I don't want to do, I do, right? So, don't, you know, when somebody says, you know, I don't sin, I'm like, pfft. God calls liars sinners, don't he? If say not, you have, what's John say? If you have, say you have not sinned, you make a God out to be a liar. Because, you know, but here's the thing, our sins have been dealt with.
Thank God.
So God's not going to punish us. He's not going to reward us with acceptance. We're accepted in Christ. See, we're going to be rewarded for what we allow Christ to do through us, that labor of love and that work of faith. See, there's a balance because we're so busy fighting legalism and, you know, for salvation, that it's not by works, and we stress that, and we need to. But we forget, God created us on the good works. He wants the good works, but the good works are produced by Christ in us. It's not produced in our flesh, and our own resources, and our own commitments. And there's a big difference. When we're allowing Christ to do things through us, when the Holy Spirit's producing His fruit, it's His fruit, right? We can't produce the fruit. What we do, we bear it. There's principles in God's Word, because you have to rightly divide it, don't you? I mean, we know here at this church it's stressed, and you have to. God says to do it. But there's transdispensational principles. Remember where Christ was telling his disciples, apart from me, you can do nothing? Well, that's true about us, too. And our own resources, we can't bust the grape with God. We can't produce that fruit, but we can bear it. How do you do that? When I depend on Christ in me, Him to produce in me, then He produces that joy and that peace and that full Christian life, that vibrant Christian life that draws people, that adorns the gospel. But sometimes we're trying to make everybody think, we do this, you know, get on Facebook. I love Jesus, I see that, but then they're putting verses out of context. You really love Jesus when you're twisting His Word, don't you? You know, but it's so important to understand about dependence on Christ. I see that missing in a lot of rightly divided circles. You know, I mean, the doctrine's taught, but that, is it being emphasized? Or is it calling people to perform? I mean, think about it. I'm always discerning. When I'm hearing teaching, I got a little antennas, discernment. I think of what I know in this Word. That's why it's so important to study it and what? Rightly divide it, right? But do you stop there? Ain't you supposed to meditate on it? And then what's the last thing? Apply it. So when you into this Word, And we study it all. All scripture is profitable, right? But again, you've heard this before, but how do you learn? Three things: repetition, 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 right? We study all the Word of God because there's principles in there. Go look at Joseph's life. How many people have been blessed by, can't think of his name. Who's the one who had boils in the Old Testament? And Job's life. Myrna, the coffee again. Think of all he went through. David in the Psalms, how much encouragement that has brought. But you better rightly divide it, because otherwise you try and claim some of the promises, and you know. But there's principles. So we study it all, but we major in Paul's epistles, because that's how God's working today. You know, that's how we learn to walk in the Spirit. You know, that's how we learn to put on Christ. You know, let what's true inwardly be manifest outwardly. We have freedom from sin. We're delivered from the power of darkness. You don't got to be afraid of sin. You got to be aware of him. You know all he can do? He has methods and wiles to deceive you, deceive us. You know, when I got one point out here, three are back at me. You don't have to be afraid of him. You got to be aware of your enemy. What are his methods? And what's he use? Human traditions, philosophies, you know, things that sound good. I told you, he's got a counterfeit gospel. But we've been delivered from him. You know, there's churches that are binding, supposedly, Satan loves it. He's probably holding his stomach laughing. They're binding Satan and loosing blah, blah, you know, and putting oil on the windows and putting oil on their cars instead of oil in the car, and then wondering why the car ain't working because they've been naming and claiming it, right? So we've been taken out from him. He don't want us to know that. He wants us to think we're still in his kingdom. You know, and he can't do nothing once you're saved. You're saved. Once saved, always saved. You know why? Once sealed, always sealed. But now he tries to deceive us. And he tries us to keep us from understanding that mystery that was hid in past ages, that Christ revealed to Paul, was hid in the heart and mind of God, right? God's so wise, I think about it. He kept a secret that destroyed Satan. Why do you think Satan attacks grace believers, I think, the most? He don't want other believers to know. We have the answer to most of the confusion in Christendom. You know, the church is not very effective today, overall. We've been around how long? And how effective have we been in the world? You know why? Satan's been very subtle and very skillful in keeping the message. Think of the Dark Ages, right? Remember Paul says, even while he was alive, all those in Asia, I didn't mean to look at someone Asian when I said this. That's why I said, you know, you're looking at people, I'm looking at my sister. All those in Asia had deserted him. What were they deserting? His apostleship and his message. They weren't turning from Christ. They were turning back to the kingdom gospel and then mixing it with Paul's gospel. Now you got no gospel. And it became the Dark Ages, remember? Nobody had Bibles. And the church, the Roman, Rome said, we'll teach you God's word. And then you had that recovery of grace truth. You know why? Courageous believers that got back into the word. And they seen, like Martin Luther, you know, he was a barefoot Catholic, but he brought, you know, what he did recover, justification by faith alone, through grace alone. And what's our authority? Scripture alone. Yeah, we can learn from traditions, but Scripture alone, that judges tradition. Tradition don't judge God's word. Sort of, don't that, well, let's get tradition up here and God, let's bring down God down here. But God's up here, right? let's check our traditions. There's nothing wrong with the tradition. Don't we every week after church sing that song? We start a tradition. Nothing wrong with it. Until when somebody gets upset if we didn't do it 1 week. Oh, we always do the song. We can't. You know. Or people who get upset because there's changes in the church. Because I was thinking about it. Sometime, you know, I love our little church. I tell people I go here, there's sound doctrine being taught, and there's love. It's hard to find that balance. But you know, sometimes we like to come and keep our church little. Because, you know, it's just, I can always have my seat. And don't sit in their seat. You said, my seat, I've been sitting there 20 years. Yeah. So, people don't like changes. So when we start doing things like maybe the video, I don't know who it was, but I heard some people are upset. You know how many people this is reaching? All over the world? This grace message is going out from our little church. And then sometime, even leadership. Don't want to make changes. Don't want to reach out because then we got, oh, we got to build. Maybe we need a bigger building. We got to take chances. We got to use our money to reach out to the lost in this community and to the saved with the message of the mystery. No, I just like coming to church and being comfortable. It's so nice, our little cozy church. I ain't talking about this church growth movement. I'm talking about Pauline, he would build a church, it would grow, he went and start another one. We should be, as a body of believers, we need to be working together. It's the work of the ministry, the work of faith, the labor of love. Reaching out, what are we doing in our community? I've asked this a few times, because I've been praying, God give our church vision, our leadership, the elders. Give us vision, what you want to do in this area. Not only here, but in our personal lives too. I've been asking God to revive us. Revival is not getting a stadium and filling it with a bunch of unsaved people. Scriptural revival is when God's people get revived. Look when in Nehemiah, and that when they brought the word of God back. And it said the people were rejoicing because they gave them the sense. The ones who were teaching it were giving them the sense, and the people were being revived through God's word. So anyway, I hope some of you others will start praying with me. God, give our church a vision. Amen. How there's things to do. You know how we, in this church, I thought about it. When did some new people start coming? After the Les Felic thing. See, we had an outreach. Some of you came because of that. Well, why are we only going to do that for our church's anniversary? Why aren't we doing things like a little things for kids, face painting, puppet shows? Look at Bible Doctrines to Live By. They go all these different churches through the summer, and they have shows from kids. And you know what? They're winning kids. I'm going to say something. A church that... where we were ministering at, I won't mention it. It's almost all gray hair. If you don't reach out to the youth, eventually your church dies. And I was telling that church, you understand how to rightly divide the word. You understand Paul's gospel. You're a light here. You've got to reach out. Everybody's got to get together and do the work of the ministry. God wants to do good works through us. What is God's will? What do you know exactly is God's will? He desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So what should be our desire in this church? To reach out to unsaved people in whatever way we can, that's scripturally. And then even reaching out to people in the area that are saved to help them to see the fellowship of the mystery. That's God's desire. Wasn't that Paul's? To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery? We need to pray about that. Let's not just have our little comfort zones. And you know, it's exciting. It's an adventure with God when you step out of your pew. Mary Stoing did it. So it's on tape to remind her. She wants to do a painting for the pastor to put over the door. When we're leaving, you're now entering the mission field. Yeah. So we're delivered from the power of darkness. We're children of the light. We have freedom from God's condemnation. God's not looking at you disgusted. Actually, you know what he's doing when he looks at you? I believe he's smiling. With loving eyes. Because he sees your inner man. The new creation. He sees you as God's righteousness. He's smiling. How many times we feel like he's frowning? To know grace, to grasp grace, to understand grace, to apply grace, to rejoice in grace. We're predestined to union with Christ. That's for believers, not unbelievers. Sorry, our Calvinist friends. We were predestined to glory, predestined to adoption, full-grown sons. The moment you trust in Christ, you are complete in him. You just don't know what you got yet. And you got to learn how to walk like a baby, right? Isn't a baby a human being?
Yeah.
Fully human? But it's got to grow. And sometimes it gets up and it falls, right? You know, it cries and, you know, because it didn't get everything it wanted. And, you know, but eventually, if it's getting healthy things, like we can't make ourselves grow. Did you know that? We can only do healthy things. It's the Holy Spirit who will grow us. God who will grow us. Because what is it? God who works in us to what? Both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. He don't overrule our will. He's working within our will. And what's it say for his good pleasure? God takes pleasure in working inside you and through you and helping you to grow and understand his love for you, his unconditional love. Learn who you are. So you can learn to walk in the Spirit, see yourself as God sees you, and you start walking in that. And learn to depend on not ourselves and our own resources. Like Paul says, I count all that garbage, rubbish, what he could do in his own flesh. You know that big church, Willow Creek? It's falling apart. You know why? It was built on humanistic, fleshly resources. They went around in the beginning and they asked everybody in the area, what don't you like about church? And they gave it to them. So it was built on giving everybody what they like. And it grew, didn't it? It was one of the biggest churches. That's one of the that church growth movements, that seminars and churches like pastors, which I love my pastor, our pastor, because he knows this word of God and he don't get involved in that stuff.
Amen.
You know, using marketing strategies, humanistic, you know, to the seeker sensitive, right? Let me tell you something. Ain't nobody seeking God. It's the Holy Spirit who draws them. And how does he start reaching them? As we share the gospel. We're made fit for the inheritance of the saints in light. We're blessed. We're in that spiritual kingdom the Son is of his love. We're citizens of heaven already. Aren't you? Are you seated with Christ? We're there already. How's that? Because we're in such union with Christ. As if I get time to go through all these, today seems like it's going to be more of a commercial about what's coming up. I'm just giving you a taste of what we're going to be going through. When you understand your union with Christ, you know, Martin Luther said, never think yourself apart from Christ. God sees you fused with Christ. Remember Paul? He's talking about marriage, right? And a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. You know, what is marriage? The two become what? One, right? What God has brought together, let no one separate or put asunder. When you trusted in Christ, God took you out of Adam. You were buried, never to come back. And you rose with Christ. Not with Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, though Paul said we know about Christ, right? We know about his ministry to the nation Israel, teaching under law. We don't know him now no more. We know him as the head of the body, sitting at the right hand of the Father, and we're seated with him.
Thank God.
And what are we? Ambassadors, right? Ambassadors of heaven. My old pastor Kirkwood, if you ever notice how me and Steve have been, sometime have we'll disagree on some things, you know, because sometime he's wrong, but you could tell him I said that. No, we were under our pastor, Jim Kirkwood. We went to the same church. I didn't know him then, but at different times. But really grounded in God's grace. It's such a blessing. I tell people, I thank God all the time, every few days. I say, Lord, I think of the people that I was under their teaching, but you taught me also. They were teaching sound grace doctrine. But I'm telling God, but you've taught me always to research it and test it, because nobody's got everything right, only God. So if you don't know this, where they're off, you'll go off. Yeah. That's why I like to listen to different grace teachers. Because I know some people, they just listen to Les Feldick. And Les Feldick's a great teacher. You know how many people he's brought into an understanding of the mystery? Because he teaches verse by verse. You know. But they got a group on Facebook, and I know all they do is listen to him. And if you sometime question something, oh, you question the Pope. You know, grace people can be like that too. So when you know this word, that's why it's so important for us to stay in this word. Because the flesh gets wearied, right? The spirit's willing. Or is it just me that sometime when I'm going to... I like to Monday through Friday in the morning before I get my mind on everything, get into the word. And then we try to have a family Bible study, or at least me and Mary. We invite Jake and Chris, but they're young men now, so we don't require it. You know, they might get one less pork chop, you know, at dinner. No, but Saturdays with it, when we can, we don't always. And sometime in the morning, I'm gonna do my study, and what happens? You ever find this? Oh, let me go do this real quick. I do that, and then what happens? The flesh brings something else. My cousin told me, how come every time I'm going to study the Bible, I start thinking of, I got 100 things to do. Flesh don't want you to. So let me get through this. I'm going to close out, bam, right on time. We're recipients of God's word. We're subjects of the grace dispensation. We're recipients of the mystery. Praise God to know that. We're vessels for the Holy Spirit fruit. God can produce fruit, God the Holy Spirit to us. We're led by the Spirit. Everyone's led by the Spirit, but being filled by the Spirit's different. Filled is controlled by. We're controlled by whatever we depend upon. When we depend upon Christ in us, His Spirit in us, He'll produce fruit. When we depend upon ourselves, or it could be drugs, or it could be our jobs, or it could be acceptance from people, that will control us. That's why Paul said, be not drunk on wine, which is an excess. So the idea is a drunk, having the whole life controlled by wine. But be filled with the Spirit. I'm speaking King James. Yeah. Be filled with the Spirit, right? Continually be filled with Spirit. Because one minute we ain't, and we got our, should I say the $2 thing what happened today? Well, we went to McDonald's and we're in a rush because I want to be here on time. And anyway, they come to the window and they give me I just wanted a sausage biscuit and coffee with hot chocolate. That's my thing. Anyway, so they bring the thing, and they're giving me this big bag. You know, it's got pancakes or whatever. And I'm like, no, that's not what I ordered. And then the chick's trying to figure all this. Well, I got to get to church. I said, you know, just forget it. Well, Mary's upset. She goes, she wheezed her card. She's very angry, like, you know. And I'm going to call them up, and I'm going, like, honey, it's $2. You're going to ruin your day. We do that. See how Satan can use things to distract us? My alarm didn't go off. Mary didn't get up. That's what I was a little upset about. But then I didn't get up either. But see how we can let distractions? We only got so many days in this world. Let's redeem the time, right? Buy it up for Christ. We're subjects of the grace dispensation. We're recipients of the mystery. We're vessels for the Holy Spirit's fruit. We're led by the Spirit. We're equipped for spiritual warfare. Every day is a day of that. It's truth against error. We're recipients of the Holy Spirit's intercession when we pray. So pray. Don't think, I might not pray right. Well, I'm just learning how to rightly divide the word, so maybe I don't know, I might not pray right. The Holy Spirit intercedes. He's only going to take what you pray that's within God's will and bring it to God, so don't worry about it. We're objects of God's love. We're objects of God's grace. Think of the word, unmerited, unearned favor. God's grace is an extension of His unconditional love for you. We're objects of His power. Now we get in some power. Keep the charismatics and Pentecostals coming for next time. We're objects of His peace. We're objects of His purpose. We're eternally secure. Our days are secure today because He lives, right? We can face tomorrow and we can rejoice in today. We're God's external exhibit. We're His trophies of His grace forever, eternity. We're promised we reward for faithful service. What Christ does to us, we're going to have positions of authority in heavenly places. I encourage you, invest. Going to be in heaven a long time, ain't you? We're recipients of all spiritual blessings. So I'm going to end with that. So I really, because I wanted to highlight on a couple things, just to encourage you and make you hungry to not only, I'll probably copy these to give out copies, study it on your own. You want to not be depressed? You want to be rejoicing? Our emotions respond to our thoughts when we're focused on God's truth and our identity in Christ. All them spiritual blessings that we don't deserve, it just makes you want to... We love God, why? Because He first loved us, and it makes us want to serve Him and be available vessels. That's true worship, right? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You so much for Your grace. I pray through this study and through also what Steve's going to be teaching, and I pray for the pastor today, the sound doctrine that he'll be laying out. I pray that You just use it, Lord, to cause us to rejoice and out of gratitude to want to serve You, and then to realize we want to serve You, but we can't do it in our own strength, and to realize we're empowered by Your Holy Spirit, that Christ will do it through us as we depend upon Him, that our lives can adorn the gospel. And I pray if there's one that's not saved, Father, they don't have none of these spiritual blessings. Actually, they're spiritually dead still in Adam, and that's why they feel that emptiness. They got to fill it with their jobs or money or getting high or sex or whatever it might be. I pray today that they'd be freed through the cross, that they'd trust that Christ died personally for their sins. Not just know about it, but trust that He did make that decision. That He was buried and He rose. And that if they'll trust in that, they'll be saved by grace, unmerited favor, through faith. Just believing what You said as a gift. Salvation's a gift. Not by works. None they can do. They can't promise you to turn from all their sins and promise you to serve. They'll serve you. But they'll be saved by what Christ accomplished, his completed and finished work. And for us, Father, I pray that your grace just fills our hearts and minds and that truth, and that truth would set us free to serve you, Father. And I pray as an assembly that we would, you would just give us vision, Lord. I ain't talking about dreams and visions, but to see, open up our mind and see what you want to do through this assembly to reach out, because the time's getting short. Teach us to redeem the time, Father. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.